So today the topic is perception of the super soul, and I've decided to pick a certain verse which I thought was relevant to the topic, and I'm going to read it. I'll read the Sanskrit and English, and then the small explanation of purport which was given by Prabhupada. So please listen carefully and attentively. So this verse is from the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. It's text 16, and this chapter is called Nature, the Enjoyer, and Consciousness. So basically it's talking about the world, God, and us. So verse number 16, I read the Sanskrit first. Bahirantascha bhutanam acharam charam evacha sukshma tvatat avigeyam durastam chantike chatat. Translation. The supreme truth exists outside and inside of all living beings, the moving and the non-moving. Because he is subtle, he is beyond the power of the material senses to see or to know. Although far, far away, he is also near to all. Purport. In Vedic literature, we understand that Narayan, the supreme person, is residing both outside and inside of every living entity. He is present in both the spiritual and material worlds. Although he is far, far away, still he is near to us. These are the statements of Vedic literature. Asino duram brajati shayano yati sarvata. Katha Upanishad 1:2:21. And because he is always engaged in transcendental bliss, we cannot understand how he is enjoying his full opulence. We cannot see or understand with these material senses. Therefore, in the Vedic language, it is said that to understand him, our material mind and senses cannot act. But one who has purified his mind and senses by practicing Krishna consciousness in devotional service can see him constantly. It is confirmed in Brahma Samhita that the devotee who has developed love for the Supreme God can see him always without cessation. And it is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 11:54 that he can be seen and understood only by devotional service. Bhaktya Twananyaya Shakya. I'm going to say a small prayer before I begin. This is called a Mangalacharan, and we say this to again. Invoke auspiciousness before we speak, and we pray for the mercy of the previous teacher. So if you know it, please try to follow. If you don't, then listen attentively. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsta Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So if many of you have probably been to the temple before, how many people are here for the first time? If you put your hands up. 1, 2. Only a few people. Most people are here. I've been here before. So if you come here before, you probably heard the Bhagavad Gita spoken, and you probably heard the term super soul. How many people have heard of the term super soul before? If you could put your hands up. Please. Quite a few people. What is your idea of the super soul? What do you think the super soul is? If you like to share your thoughts on what the super soul might be, don't be shy. I'm just as nervous as you, so you probably know more than I do as well, so please be confident. Mataji or Prabhu? Mataji, please. Part and parcel of God. Super soul, part and parcel of God. That's good. Babaji? The form of the Lord which resides within the heart. That's very good. That's actually the answer. The super soul. It said that within every body, moving and non-moving, there's an individual soul, which is us. We're not a body. We're just a spirit soul residing within the body. And beside that spirit soul within the same body, there's also a form of the Lord which is residing. And this form is called a super soul. Now, this super soul performs many functions. For example, we know that when we forget something and we really try hard, and sometimes it comes to us, and we're thinking, where did this come from? Or when we feel inspired. Actually, according to Vedic literature, this is coming from the super soul. And the super soul is the form of the Lord which resides within the heart, and it keeps the spirit soul company. The reason for this is that the spirit soul cannot do anything independently. It needs help. It said in the Bhagavatam, which is the book after the Bhagavad Gita, which is recommended we should read after we finish the Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavatam says that the spirit soul is very tiny, very small. It's even smaller than the smallest child you can know. It seems this small, you know? And it can't do anything separate or independent of God, you see? But when we come to this world, we're forced to perform activities, and we need the mercy of the Lord. We need the help of the Lord. So what the Lord does, he comes along with us, and he gives us inspiration, he gives us intelligence, and he gives us guidance so that we can fulfill our various desires. Because actually, what is the reason why we're in this world? We're in this world, according to Vedic literature, we're in this world because we want to enjoy separately from Krishna. Said that a long time ago, a very long time ago, every single person here within this room was in the spiritual world. We were enjoying a very loving and blissful relationship with Krishna, serving Krishna, doing everything for Krishna. And there was this reciprocation. But at some point, we decided that we wanted to try to go it alone. Just like you may have many of you here. This is Mother's Day today. Many mothers, they know the dreadful day when your child grows up, they think they're old enough to go it alone, and then they decide to move out, get their own flat. So we decided to move out of the spiritual world to try living without Krishna. And Krishna is so merciful. First, he tried to give us a warning, told us, don't go, because that place is a very nasty place. You should stay here. But we pushed the point. I want to try. So what Krishna did, he allowed us to go. But he's so kind because he knows we're going to suffer. And what he does, he decides to come along with us. And he does this by coming as a super soul within our heart. Just like a son, he leaves the house of his mother. He can't cook for himself. He can't even wash his own clothes. But he's got this idea that he's going to go off and start a new life by moving to Australia or something like that. So what does his mother do? Once a month, she sends him a check because she knows he's going to run out of money because he can't look after himself. He can't even look after his finances. So that's what Krishna has done by coming with us in the form of the super soul. And in the form of the super soul, he's constantly looking after us. You see? Now, this super soul can fulfill all our desires, can help us fulfill all our desires, whether they're good or bad. Krishna does not interfere with our free will. This is one thing he does not do. He'll do everything else. He'll fight evil on your behalf, all the bad desires within your heart. He can deal with them only if you desire it. But if you decide that you don't want to serve Krishna, Krishna will also give you the intelligence by which you don't serve him. So he doesn't interfere with our free will. He's always there helping us fulfill our desires. But when we decide that I've had enough, I've suffered enough as it is, I want to go back, I want to come back home, the door is open. It gives us the intelligence from within the heart. Just like when a son has had enough of trying to live alone, and then he comes knocking on the door, the mother opens the door to him. In the Bible, there's this nice story, the story of the prodigal son who decided to leave home. But then when he came back, the father arranged such a lovely feast for the son, and he took him back. So the same way, Krishna is waiting for us to turn to him to take us back. And when a soul desires to go back, he gives them books like Bhagavad Gita, and he gives them the process of devotional service, which is what we're doing here by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. See, this devotional service, the process of Bhakti Yoga, begins with hearing about Krishna. To understand who God is, you must first hear about him. Because if you've never heard of Krishna before and Krishna appeared before you, you may think you would know who he is, but you wouldn't. It said that in Krishna book, there's various pastimes and activities of Krishna. When Krishna appeared in the arena fighting with Kamsa, Krishna's uncle. Many people know these pastimes, Krishna and Kamsa. Kamsa was Krishna's uncle. He was a demon. On the day of his sister's wedding to her husband, Krishna's mother, Devaki, and his father, Vasudeva, on the day of their wedding, Kamsa was taking them to his palace, basically. He was taking them home, which is the custom, in Vedic custom. That's what the brothers do. He was taking her home, and he was a demon. Krishna was God. So suddenly, out of nowhere, he heard a voice in the sky telling him, Kamsa, you fool, don't you know that the eighth son of this sister of yours is going to be the cause of your death? He's going to kill you. And Kamsa's heart was so dark, his heart was so black, so dirty, so evil Kamsa was, that instantly, in the beginning he was trying to serve his sister, and then suddenly he just changed and he wanted to kill her because he heard that her son would kill him. And he tried to he killed every single child of Devaki, but Krishna managed to survive. And then when Krishna grew up, Kamsa arranged to send many people to kill him. Then at one point, there was a fight in the arena where Krishna was invited to fight all these different warriors that Kamsa arranged to kill Krishna. When Krishna appeared, many people saw him, but not everyone could recognize him as God because they had not heard about Krishna before. So devotional service to Krishna begins with hearing about Krishna. First, we hear about Krishna, we hear about his glories. And then after that, we can get a certain idea of how great he is, and how insignificant we are. And then we hear about the process by which we can serve him, which is called Bhakti Yoga, Krishna consciousness. And then after that, we hear about the goal, which is to go back to the spiritual world. That's devotional service. Now, perception of the super soul. Another point I wanted to talk about here is that because Krishna is within the heart of everyone, what does this mean, practically speaking? What this means is that everyone, every living entity, is related to us one way or another. Now, this is a very important point to understand, because we can see practically in the world out there, there's not much love being passed around. There's a lot of wars, people performing very, very sinful activities towards each other. And what they do this, and it's called acting on the bodily platform, where you see someone different from you. Someone maybe Western. There's a white man, I'm an Indian person. There's a black man, there's a Chinese man. And basically, people who are the same body as I have, or the same interests as I have, I look after them. But people who don't have the same bodies I have, I'm not so interested in them, you know. I'm prepared to go to war with them. Or it goes as far as killing others for food. Or I'm a human being. There's a cow, there's a cat, there's a dog. I love my human friends, but when it comes to the animals, I'm not so interested. I'm prepared to kill them and have a feast. Now, according to Bhagavad Gita, this is not a correct way to behave. Because if we understand, like we come to the temple, we say we believe in Krishna. Krishna is God. I love God. Oh, please, God, please help me. I'm suffering in this world. Give me your mercy. But if we're not prepared to show the same love we're expecting from God to others, then we haven't understood the message of Krishna. It said that before you can understand who God is, God is so far away, like it says here, before you can perceive the super soul, which is beyond your material senses, you have to first be able to love those who are next to you. That's what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, the yogi who observes me in every single being and every single being within me, he's actually the best yogi, he's actually the most learned yogi. One who doesn't has not understood. And we see this practically, we see this happening all the time. On the internet the other day, because often when we go out on one of our services here is to go out and try to meet new people and try to show them books like Bhagavad Gita, how great Bhagavad Gita is, and how much knowledge they can acquire by reading a few pages of Bhagavad Gita, and try to impress upon them that this is the literature they need in order to become free from the miseries of birth, death, old age, and disease. So basically, we meet a lot of people who put various arguments before us. And one argument we often hear is that I believe in God and all that, but I agree with what you guys say, but this vegetarianism and worshipping the cow and things like that, this does not seem right to me. So the other day, one devotee sent me something on the internet. It was he was sending it to a few other devotees, something. And it's basically what's happening, there was in America, there's an organization which deals with the humane handling of animals, how to treat animals properly and things like that. And one of them infiltrated this factory where they were basically killing cattle, you know. And the way they were treating the animals is very, very gruesome. What they were doing, they were prodding the calves, you know, with these electric prods, giving them an electric shock. And then before the calf is not dead yet, what they do basically, they'll dip it in water and they'll give it the electric shock, you know, so that the calf will feel maximum pain. Some places they were skinning the animals alive. They were doing this. And the same people, when they're going through difficulty, they'll turn to God and ask God for help. Oh, please, Father, help me. I'm suffering. But if we can't love other living beings, how do we expect God to show us the same love? Because everyone is a child of God. If they weren't children of God, why would he bother going with them through every single body? Why would he accompany us in every single body if he didn't love us? This is an interesting point. Before I came to Krishna consciousness, I didn't believe in this because I was brought up in it was a religious family, but we have different beliefs. We didn't believe that animals had souls. And many people believe this. Animals don't have souls. Basically, I'm the most important person in this world. God created this world for my pleasure. And it's just like virtual reality. Everyone else around me, is just there for me to interact with, because if I don't interact with someone, I'll be bored. So therefore, the animals are there. Because I have to eat something, so God put them there for me to eat. Krishna says that's not correct. In Bhagavad Gita, he gives us the best way to act. He said that real knowledge means pridelessness, humility, non-violence. This is an important point. Ahimsa, non-violence. To treat everyone else as equals. And the person who is non-violent, that person can actually understand who God is. Until we become non-violent, we can understand who God is. And it's very important. It's a very important point. Because Krishna is a person. He feels pain also. And he also dislikes hypocrisy. He dislikes people who cheat him. And every day, we're cheating Krishna. I know for myself. This is called psychological atheism. Philosophical atheism and psychological atheism. Philosophical atheism means basically, I don't believe in God. You know, there's no such thing as God. Everything happened by chance. There was a big bang. All matter, all the chemicals came together, and then the universe was created. We don't need to go into how foolish such a philosophy is, because we know practically that nothing comes by chance, you see. The table does not come by chance. The car does not come by chance. There has to be a creator. We could spend a whole day discussing this. Many devotees here are expert in presenting these arguments to the scientists and atheists, not just scientists, you get religious scientists also, but to the atheists. That's philosophical atheism. But there is something which is even more dangerous, which is very, very subtle. It's called psychological atheism, which means that basically, I do everything else. Every religious activity under the sun I perform externally. But internally, I behave in a way which is not so religious. I say I love God, but I can't love his creation. That's called psychological atheism. You see? So, the point I was trying to make with this is that to perceive the super soul, we have to understand that everyone else is part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna says, Mama Ivamsha Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. Mama Ivamsha, these are living entities. Every single living entity is a part and parcel of me. They can't live without me. Just like pearls are strung on a thread, everything rests upon me. This whole world was created by me, and everything else within this world was created by me. It comes from me. And because it comes from me, if you want to love me, you have to love them also. Love me, love my dog. So if you want to develop love for Krishna, we come to the temple, obviously, because we want to love Krishna. We can come to the temple for other reasons also. It's not a bad thing. You may come to the temple because you want money. I know I came to the temple because I was distressed. I definitely did not want to know who God is. But I was very fortunate, because I was born in a religious family, that we were trained. I say trained because there was no conscious effort gone into it. I was trained. Again, that's great fortune. I was trained to always turn to God whenever I had difficulties. So it brought me to the temple to see Krishna. And gradually, I'm again being trained to understand that to ask God for facilities and to end my suffering is not the highest goal. The highest goal is to develop love of God. So we come to the temple for many reasons, but if we really, really want to develop love of God, we have to also learn to develop love for everyone else, love for His creation. And this is the real welfare activity. They have the United Nations, they're doing a lot of other things. They're feeding the homeless, they're feeding the people in many parts of the world, Haiti, the Philippines, that's very good. But if we can't learn to love the person next to us, then we're missing the point. So, this my understanding of perceiving the super soul. If you claim to see who God is, you have to learn to see His creation also in relationship to Him. So that was my understanding of this topic. And I found a verse which I thought was relevant, and I discussed whichever points I could present. So if anyone has any questions or comments you like to add, please feel free. It's very nice to discuss Bhagavad Gita after we've heard it. Then we can clarify any doubts we have in our minds. You know, it's very good. So any questions or comments?